Welcome to Bible Greek VPod. This is practice for Chapter 7, Prepositions. First, I hope you have the Bible Greek VPod book and are at Chapter 7, Prepositions. Let's look at the first practice verse. This is really incredible that we are now able to, here in Chapter 7, go to real verses of the Bible. This is really exciting. I'm glad that you have stayed with us this long. And now we're going to, through the rest of this book, actually translate real Bible verses. What a blessing that is. The first practice of the translation is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. In the back of the book, you will find that I have declined and parsed the verbs for you. And if you go to that section, we'll break it apart. That's what this purpose of these. The first thing to notice about Ephesians 2:8 is I have given you a couple of areas where I have just inserted the translation because you have not had the grammar for that yet. So I'm trying to make it easy for you. So esti is, for example, you are. And you don't have to worry about translating those if I have the translation in the section already. And don't worry about not knowing what that means. We will get to that when we come to it. So let's take a look at this. The first thing to notice is the definite article is placed out in front. Te. Te is the definite article that matches the noun kariti, and it is a dative feminine singular. Notice that the conjunction gar is placed between the definite article and the noun. That is common in Greek. You will run into that an awful lot. So don't be confused by that. The te is just notice that that's a definite article, and there it is. And the gar will just be translated normally. Notice also, as you're doing your translation work, what you want to do is identify the verb. Always identify the verb first. So esti is the verb. Now I have gone ahead and given you the translation as you are, because it's a present active indicative, second person plural. You are of I, me. And then the next word I've given to you as being saved. I've just given you that translation. You don't know what a perfect passive participle is yet, so don't worry about that. It's having been saved is how that's translated. And then here is the preposition through and pistuos, a genitive feminine singular of or from faith. So smoothing this out. For by grace you have been saved through faith. The second exercise is Romans chapter 3, verse 9. Now, I have given you exercises that have real spiritual meat. A lot of textbooks will not find the spiritual meat. They just go to find something that has the word that needs to be practiced. So I've gone the extra mile and given you some real verses with some spiritual meat real early so that you will be blessed by that. Romans 3, verse 9. Notice it starts out with a conjunction chi, and then it has the noun, which is an accusative masculine plural, Hellenes. That's Greek. And then there's an adjective. The adjective follows the noun, so it will match the noun in case, so it's an accusative masculine plural also. So all the Greeks. And then there's the preposition hupo, but here it's been changed quite a bit. And that's because of what follows, and so it's not a hupo, it has been changed to hoof. And then next we have sin, amartion. It is also an accusative feminine singular. And at the very end of this phrase, we have the verb. A present infinitive. A present infinitive is really a verbal noun. Don't worry about that at this point either. Notice I have also given you that word, so you don't have to translate that. So smoothing it out. And Greeks, all are under sin. And really should be, and all Greeks are under sin. And by that Greeks, they would mean the Gentile, in the Hebrew, the Goyim, all the Gentiles, they're all under sin. We are all under sin. And if you have your Bible in front of you, it says in the whole verse is just wonderful. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. And then verse 10 goes into, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God or seeks after God. That's a very popular expression in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Let's move on to the third exercise, Romans chapter 1, verse 4. The first word, kata, is a preposition, according to. And then in this little phrase, the noun is an accusative neuter singular, the spirit. Then the next word is another noun, and it is a genitive feminine singular. And I've given you that word is holiness. Holiness. And so you should have the translation according to a spirit of holiness. But the context suggests that we add the definite article, according to the spirit of holiness. Now you will notice at times the definite article is added, and then the definite article is oftentimes removed from the English, because the English either doesn't need it or it does need it. For example, God is almost always, God has the definite article, but in the English we never put the article there. We never say the God, because we know God is definite. So just to let you know, context often helps in this translation. Move down to the fourth exercise. Here we move to Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. The first word, hati, is a conjunction. And then the next word, de, is the conjunction, but. Then the next word, in, is a preposition. And then we have our noun. It's a dative, masculine, singular, nomo. Notice on the datives, you should be getting some experience by now, but on the datives, you can easily identify dative nouns by the little squiggle at the end. You see the little marking underneath the omega? When you see that marking, you know that's a dative, locative, or instrumental. The next word I'd give to you, because you don't know that word yet. No one. It's just a particle. It means no one. Udes. And then the next word, I give you that also, because it is a present passive verb, and it is being justified. The raw translation that you should have is something like, that but in the law, no one is being justified. And then when you want to smooth that out, remember, you're not through with those clumsy, raw translations. You have to smooth it out a little bit to make it readable in the English. So we move the but out in front. By the way, that will be common to have the conjunction but being moved out to the front. So the smooth translation would read, but that no one is being justified by means of the law. Notice also, there's no definite article there for the law, but we have inserted the law there because the English needs it. and it's obvious that it is definite, the law. The fifth example, the first word I've given you as which. It's a relative pronoun, which. Don't worry about that at this time. Just identify the words that you've had. The next word is the verb. It's a present active indicative, second person singular. From echo, to have. In this case, you have. The next word, pros, is a preposition, to or toward. Then we have the definite article, which matches the noun, kurion. It is an accusative masculine singular noun with the definite article, the Lord. And of course, as is common in Scripture, the word Jesus is going to match the case of the Lord. And so it also will be an accusative masculine singular. The Lord Jesus. Smoothed out, it says, which you have toward the Lord Jesus. But let me give you the full verse, Philemon 1:5. In fact, move to verse 4. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. I hope you have enjoyed this practice session and your translation work. Move on to the next chapter. Come back for the next practice session.